Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
It's game day. You only got one job to do. That's win. That means you stay focused for four quarters. Know your assignments and finish on every play. Don't be looking for shortcuts. And don't even think about making excuses. Because if you want the W, you're going to have to earn it. Nothing comes for free. Not 1 yard. You pay for it with sweat, with determination, with heart. You do things the right way. Because that's the only way. You pick up your teammates. You keep your head high. And you remember everything you went through to get here. Because at the end of the day, there's only one person looking back at you in the mirror. And that's one person you don't want to cheat.
I'm doing good. You probably have the music on and the mic's not on or something like that.
Well, there we go. Now, can everybody hear me?
Woo, yeah, we can hear you now.
All right, let's try this again one more time. All right, boys and girls, welcome to the Ballast. Oh, my goodness. The day's starting off good. Thank God it's the last Saturday of the year, 2011. We've got a jam-packed show for you today. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and you have stumbled across the Balance, the best sports talk show in the world. If you don't believe me, just ask me. We do now have our panel of experts, or our expert panels, as we like to say here on this show. Starting off with Mr. Chad. Chad, let's start again. Are you with us, buddy?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic.
I am swell, my friend. I'm swell. I'm looking forward to the new year. And I'm back-to-back fantasy football champion. Can't ask for more.
Back-to-back fantasy football champion. And yes, you are, Chad. And Chad is my personal consultant. Only when he's not playing me.
Yeah.
Also, new to the show, we want to introduce Mr. Jay Graves, full of energy.
What's going on, fellas?
Drinking guy. Jay Graves.
How's it going, buddy? Man? Oh, man, life is good.
Ready to rock and roll, ready to bring in 2012 with a bang, that's for sure. Well, guys, let's just jump right into it. Brian will join us a little bit later. He was tied up at work at Mike Daly, when I sent him a text, I said, are you going to join us today, talk some bowl games, 2011 sports stories? And his text back to me was Andrew Luck. So, and Jay, to clue you in on that, on what that means, is Our other guy that's usually with us, Brian Jensen, and he'll join us here in a little while. when we got into the college basketball, I said, we're going to be talking some college basketball. He says, I don't know anything about college basketball. The only thing I know about college is Andrew Luck. So anytime you go to me and you ask me a question about college basketball, I'm just going to say Andrew Luck. So basically that came out to be the joke on the show that if somebody says Andrew Luck, they don't know what the heck we're talking about, but they wanted to be a part of the conversation, so they chime in, Andrew Luck. So Mike Daly's not going to be. So here we are, guys. End of the year, 2011. Well, I want to introduce a brand new guy to the show, Mr. Jay Graves. Is that right, Graves or Graves?
That's right, Jay Graves from the JayGravesReport.com. Holla at your boy.
All right, Jay, tell us a little bit about the JayGravesReport.com.
Hey, well, the Jay Graves Report is the hottest sports blog around. It's where sports and real life collide. I started the blog about a year or so ago because I was frustrated with watching television and listening to guys on radio not talk about the real life issues or aspect of what athletes have to deal with. When you start talking about kids getting in trouble or taking money, or doing the things that was going on at Ohio State, et cetera. Everybody wants to say how wrong these situations are, but they never talk about how we got to that place. Why are these kids taking money? Why are the boosters doing what they're doing? So on my blog, I always talk about the whys and the real-life issues surrounding whatever's going on in sports, and I think people really love that because I'm starting to really get a big following with this sports in real life.
You do got a great report. And Jay joined us on the Gary Snyder Show earlier this week. And I told Gary, I said, man, this guy's full of energy. And I read his blog. And you know what? So here he is. He's part of the show today. And so glad that you could be with us. Also, Mr. Chad, back-to-back fantasy football champion, the guy that knows everything there is to know about fantasy football. But the reality is, he's just Axel, a.k.a. Chad. I don't even know how to say his last name. But, Chad, how are we doing today? What's going on in your mind today, sir?
Oh, not much. I'm just looking forward to chilling. I actually worked pretty hard last week. So, yeah, I'm glad to not have any clients to respond to today and just chill out this weekend for a change.
Hey, Chad, your clients listen to this show. They're all going to be calling you, my friend. All right, well, let's just kind of dive into it, and let's talk a little bit. Let's get the need-be stories out of the way, and then we're going to dive right into the topics at hand. Obviously, the bowl games is coming up, and then the top sports stories of 2011. But one of the things I want to talk about is the Colts of Jacksonville. A lot of people are saying, Gary Snyder being one of them, hey, Colts, lay down. We want Luck. So we'll start with you, Jay, and then we'll move around to Chad. And let's get your thoughts on the Colts and the Jags. Should the Colts take a dive on Sunday, Jay?
Hey, you know what? I've been saying since day one, since August, Give the keys to the backup quarterbacks, whoever they may be, and let them drive that thing into the wall and lose all the doggone ball games and get the first pick in the draft. I've been saying from jump, don't win this game tomorrow. I mean, granted, you can't tell a player not to win the game, but at the same time, you waited too late to start trying to win. I mean, you can get the first pick in the draft. My thought is, get the first pick in the draft, trade Peyton Manning. So you got $26 million tied into this guy that he's pretty much a limit at this point. We don't know whether he's going to be able to play again or not. And if he does get on the field, he's one missed assignment from that left tackle from not playing again. So now you've got a $26 million coach or lemon sitting on the sideline where you can trade that guy and get five or six guys to shore up your defense. So I say, Andrew Luck sweepstakes all day long. Get this guy, move Peyton so you can make some money.
Well, and I tell you what, there's probably a lot of people that agree with you. I am not one of them, and I'll get to my reasons why I'm not one of them in here in just a second. But go right ahead, Chad. The Colts, Jacksonville, should they take a dive?
No. I mean, first thing is, like, you have let things play out. I mean, Orlovsky is coming from having a new set of triplets, and congratulations to the Orlovskys. And Curtis Painter took a lot of first-team reps, but then Orlovsky is coming back in time for Sunday. Maybe they should have induced on Saturday or something, but still. But then let our Goldilocks Curtis Painter go in there. So, but having said all that, I mean, it's not a cakewalk by any means as winning on the road. I mean, even with Peyton, the Jaguars have fought as hard. So there's no reason to think that the Jaguars will not win, even if both teams play hard enough. So, I mean, you can't tell the coaches, not the players.
Right.
And if the management tanks it, I mean, you also have to, if the management pulls key starters or something like that, then you could have the fan base angry that, I mean, all the integrity that you look up to this organization for is thrown out the window if they do that. And that's the reason why a lot of fans support the Colts over the Patriots, because they have done things right for the longest time. And so basically, this is not the time to throw all that reputation out the door. I know the benefit of getting Andrew Luck and all the stuff, but then as you can see, I mean, it's like it is a quarterback-driven league, and you just have to kind of hope that things fall the way they do, and not really. I mean, even still, given how low the number two pick is, it's not out of the possibility that we still can get a good player that can help Peyton, and we just have to kind of roll the dice, and we have things to play for. Pierre Garçon needs 75 yards to get to the 1,000-yard mark. Reggie Wayne needs 113 yards, and with the banged up Jaguars secondary, they're going to go for that. And Maurice Jones-Drew is about 100 yards over LeSean McCoy for the rushing title. So you know he's going to go for at least 100 yards. So basically there are things that both teams need to play for, and this is the last game for the Jaguars under their previous owner, Wayne Weaver, and the new Mr. Khan is taking over in Jacksonville. Yes, we can. Okay, so he's taking over, so they want to send the old owner off with a win. So I don't think people are that scared of an unproven commodity like Andrew Luck that the Jaguars are going to fold down the tent or something like that. I mean, let's not make it bigger than what it is. Let things play out. If it happens, it happens. Otherwise, we still have a pick much higher than what we have ever had since we had Peyton Manning. So,
well,
can I chime in?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead, Jay.
It's what people have to realize: the Colts have already ran a street corner hustle on the fans at the beginning of the year. So for them to, you can't just go out and lose a ball game. I mean, that would throw all integrity out the window. But they completely ran a hustle on the fans in August, because Peyton Manning had surgery in May. They knew that he wasn't going to be able to play in May before they signed the contract. But they signed the contract so that the fans would go out and buy season tickets. And they didn't tell anybody that he wasn't going to be able to play until all the tickets had been sold, all the advertising had been shored up, et cetera. Now you say Peyton Manning's not going to play. Well, I saw that coming in May. So to say that they owe the fans, they've already screwed the fans when they told us that Peyton Manning was going to play in August.
Well, I think there, because their worst decision was signing Kerry Collins 2 weeks prior. I mean, they should at least let Curtis Painter start off the show. And if they had shown the confidence, maybe he'd have won one or two of those winnable games, and his confidence might have been better, and then we wouldn't even be talking about Andrew Luck and other stuff. So.
Well, Well, you know, here's the thing, guys. I am going to fall on the side of I think the Colts need to go out there and win and let the chips fall where they may. I mean, you know, really, who would have thunk it? Just a few short weeks ago, guys, we thought we were well on our way to luck. So I don't know if we were just disappointed that we're not getting luck, or the fact that we had our mindset that, hey, this is what it is, and now don't go messing with us now, kind of like a prom date teasing us on prom night. You know, hey, I don't want to do anything, but then all of a sudden they turn around and do something you don't really know what to do. So, you know, here's my thing. I think Colts go out there, win, got to do what they got to do. I mean, like I said, a few weeks ago, the Indianapolis Colts seemed well on their way to a winless season that would guarantee a dubious, much-needed quarterback and successor to the throne of Peyton Manning. But, guys, a funny thing happened on the way to the war room. The Colts let a winning streak get in the way. Consecutive defeats of the Titans and Houston Texans. Woo, yeah. I say we won some games. We didn't go down like the 0-16 team that the Detroit Lions did. That, by the way, Orlovsky played on. I don't think he wanted to play on that. I don't think he wanted to be remembered with that on a different team. The only quarterback to play two 0-16 teams. Who is it?
Yeah, that would have been bad.
Be the trivia question of the century. So now we find ourselves tied with St. Louis, the league's worst record, 2-13. The Colts could lose the top overall pick if they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is 4-11, and the Rams lose, which is as expected, against the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. Now, obviously, if they both end up with a tie, it goes to the weaker schedule, which, by the way, I examine things, we would still get Andrew Luck. But nonetheless, even if we don't get Luck, guys, there is a guy by the name of G-Force 3 out there, okay? He is going to be one heck of a quarterback, and I say if we don't get Luck, we'll get the G-Force 3. So, guys, let's say we don't get Luck. What are your thoughts on Griffin the Third? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm not really sold on Big 12 quarterbacks. I mean, it's like, yes, I mean, Cam Newton and Tim Tebow both played in spread style, and a lot of teams are spreading out 4 or 5 wide receivers. Unless we plan to change our offensive system that was completely tailored to Peyton Manning and built by Tom Moore and Peyton Manning, unless we're going to change it to suit a new quarterback, that I'd have to see it. That's when you go and pull the trigger on a quarterback that has been trained in a spread system like RG3. Otherwise, you build the defense. I mean, look at them. What kind of quarterbacks have we really beat, to be honest with you, with this team? Matt Hasselbeck, pick 6, and the rookie TJ Yates, who we had enough games of film on. They were just running the ball. And then bootleg. Did they do anything other than that? I mean, it's like, that's why I don't just buy all of a sudden our defense doesn't have holes to fill or something like that. Huge holes to fill. Let us do the same shutdown thing versus Breeze, Rodgers, or Brady. Then we can talk whether our defense has improved or not. But still then, you got to build up the defense and trade down from pick number 2 to 4 or 5, get the Maurice Claiborne from LSU. And then Minnesota, I would love to move up to get Matt Khalil, a left tackle, at pick number 2. And we'll be picking ahead of Minnesota. So we have to try to generate a few extra picks if we don't get Andrew Luck. That's my opinion.
Let's be quite honest. There's only one person in the world that can run the offense that the Indianapolis Colts have right now, and that's Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, they put that offense together for the last 7 to 8 years. Every draft pick and every free agent that they picked up to play in that offense has been picked up to play with the brain of Peyton Manning. That's why when Peyton Manning's brain didn't show up this year, the offense didn't show up. The defense is just as bad as it's been, even in the years that they played in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl year, they couldn't stop anybody from running. They've been giving up 20 points a game. But the problem is that, I mean, the solution to that was you had Peyton Manning that could come up to the line of scrimmage, call the plays, do whatever he needed to do. The offense was suited for him. So even if you get Andrew Luck or anyone else, they're going to have to change the offense because there was no contingency plan when Peyton went down. When the brain went down, the offense went down. That's why you're sitting at 2-13.
True.
All right, guys. Well, we can debate this all day long, and I'm sure that we will have many more opportunities to talk about it. But we want to move on with the show, so we got to take a break. When we get back, guys, we're going to start talking about some of the top sports stories of 2011. So I want you guys to keep in mind what I'm going to do when we get back. We're going to talk with each of you of what you think your top five sports stories of 2011 are. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. It's Saturday, New Year's Eve. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis. It's Saturday, New Year's Eve, absolutely the last Saturday of 2011. It's time to sit back and reflect. I wish I had some good reflecting and meditating music. All right, guys, we're going to jump right into the top sports stories of 2011, and so that we got time to get everything in. We'll start with you, Jay. Jay, what are your top five? And number one being what you think is number one.
Okay, top five, I would say the LeBron haters is number one. Then I would go to the Ohio State debacle. Then I would go to what else we have here? You got... Oh, Brad Stevenson and the Butler Bulldogs. I think he stayed too long. And then I think you can go to Cam Newton and all the hate Cam Newton got this year too.
Okay. Chad, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd say the top story is, notorious story, is the Penn State scandal.
I forgot about that.
I mean, yeah, it's like nobody can top that. I mean, it's like it's totally off the wall and even disgusting to talk about. But that's got to be that'll leave a mark on you for years to come. So sure. That's my number one. And the number two, of course, the Mavericks winning it with the LeBron James haters being vindicated. It's like just like A-Rod joined Derek Jeter with the Yankees. It's Jeter's team, Yankees. Just like the Heat was Wade's team. And A-Rod didn't win in year number one, but he did win in year number two. So I'm kind of thinking along the same lines that LeBron James wins in year number two. That will be the second big story. And third big story, I mean, it's like all the passing that's gone on in the National Football League, unbelievable amount of passing and record shattered with Dan Marino's record shattered by 15 games by Drew Brees. And that will be number three for me. And number four, I mean, you had to kind of like go with Peyton Manning's injury that just exposed the Colts. I mean, nobody, I mean, would have predicted this kind of season. I mean, like you could put default MVP by being MIA. So that's number four for me. And number five, I just have to go with, the Ohio State scandal too. And it's probably the, it's pretty bad for two Big Ten programs to be notoriously involved on the wrong side of things. So Big Ten needs a boost, and thankfully they have hired Urban Meyer, and the recruits come falling for Ohio State. So.
Well, you know, and here's the thing, and I like all of those. You know, maybe we could have dug a little bit deeper on some of the other. There's so many stories that I, you know, when I was putting this list together, and I realized I had a little bit more time to think about, you know, what was the best top stories. So, you know, but my number one top story, obviously, was Penn State. That was a big thing, and we certainly want to talk about that, but we'll talk about that in a little while. LeBron, now that's a good one there, Jay, because I totally spaced that one. That one was not even in my list or on my radar, that was a huge story. And you know what? I would say that if you're I was down at the Cavalier game last night with the Pacers. And I was thinking about LeBron James and how he used to come here and play against the Pacers and how he's in Miami and how he's not won a championship yet. You know, if I was a Cav fan, heck yeah, I'd be a LeBron hater. Let's do this big ESPN special, and let's make everybody believe that, you know, we're going to announce that we're going to stay in Cleveland only to say I'm going to Miami. I guess it's all about the Benjamins, but... You know, and anybody that says it's not, well, talk about one of my other stories, and that's Albert Pujols going to the Angels.
That's right.
So what I'm gonna do here is I'm just gonna kind of give you my top 10 because I had a little bit more time to talk about it, and we could certainly bounce back and forth from these stories throughout the show. But I think one of the top 10, and at the bottom of my list going backwards, is, NBA cancels its, part of its regular season. Didn't know if it was going to happen. I thought that was a pretty big story, especially when you look at the NFL just had their own lockout, too. And as well, that's another top story that I have. Another really big story that I have had on the list was the death of Dan Weldon. And I covered racing all the way through all year long with I covered racing all year long with the IndyCar. And that was a very personal story to me. I got a chance and an opportunity to get to know Dan very, very well. And you know, he was just a good down-to-earth guy. He was a practical jokester. And, you know, and Jay and Chad, I don't know if you were – I know, Jay, you weren't part of the show when this happened, but the balance, we did a nice tribute that we played on the air, and I pulled that out to play on today's show. So here from the balance, right after the death of Dan Weldon, at the two-time Indy champion 500, who died out in Las Vegas on the 11th lap of the Las Vegas 300. Obviously, he died on October 17th. The following Saturday is when we ran this salute. So we're gonna play this, guys. It's about 11 minutes. And then after that, we'll go into a break, and then we'll come back and we'll finish some of our top stories of
2011. Be right back on the Balance Radio Network.
In his honor. It will take place in approximately 10 minutes. Thank you.
And here we are, on the track. Everybody lined up along pit lane. And there is the field of 19 cars that survived that horrific crash and made it through for the five-lap salute to Dan Weldon. When they begin this five laps, folks, we're just going to sit back and reflect with you.
All right, you are listening to The Balance. That was the tribute that was made to Dan Weldon by fellow race car drivers. If you thought you were just hearing a bunch of static, you aren't. You're listening to the show, The Balance. Basically what the and we'll get to a break, guys, here, but basically what the IndyCar League drivers did is they did 11-lap salute out there in Las Vegas when Dan Weldon lost his life. Real quickly, guys, any thoughts on that story before we go to a break?
I thought it was sad. My son is a huge IndyCar race fan and NASCAR fan, so he had it on that day, and I thought it was just terrible. But, you know, you're almost shocked that this doesn't happen more often, because of the speed at which these guys drive and the amount of accidents that we see that many times look worse than the one we saw during his accident. So it's just sad, and I hope that that the Racing League will put more and more precautions out there that will safety precautions that will help save more lives, and we don't want to see this happen again.
And I totally agree. Chad, do you have any thoughts on that, on the Dan Weldon story?
Yeah, it's almost kind of like it was an act from above or something like that he had to win on the last lap. Now, looking back, how Dylan Brand lost it on the last lap of the Indy 500 to Dan Weldon, it was almost like somebody up there knew that Dan Weldon may not get another chance or something like that. So, yeah, it's you just kind of reflect on how things transpired for Dan Weldon over the course of the racing season. And, yeah, it's like he was one of the one of the few marketable guys for the IndyCar racing, too. And just not been a good year losing Danica, and then now Dan Weldon this horrific way. And like, I just hope IndyCar makes a rebound, and I hope Dan Weldon's family can reconcile with time, and they find comfort with time. So,
yeah, and it was a sad story, and we certainly want to focus on a lot of positive stories of 2011 as well. But yeah, I just felt like it was a story that we needed to talk about. So when we get back, we're going to continue our discussion, top sports stories of 2011, right here on The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and my panel of experts, Mr. Jay Graves of the JayGravesReport.com, and Chad, a.k.a. Axel. We'll be right back, right here on The Balance on New Year's Eve.
Yo, Vanilla, kick it one time, boy.
Do you like what you hear on The Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
And we go a little something like this. Hit it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
at a bar, and I'm looking for some action, but like...
Peter, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
All right, boys and girls, and you're not pooping for real. You're part of the balance. You're deep. And with me is Mr. Jay Graves of the jgravesreport.com and Chad, a.k.a. Axel, and Holla At Your Boy. I love that slogan, man. That is fantastic. Only you, I couldn't get by with that. But you, my friend, can absolutely get by with that. Now, Jay, I want to talk about a story you wrote, and it happens to just fall in the line of one of your top stories, and that's about Cam Newton. So,
oh, yeah.
since it was your story, go ahead and tell us about that story, and let's dive right into the discussion of Cam Newton. Fig Newton.
Well, you know, this week I wrote an article called "The Silencer." And basically what I was saying, I was so happy to see Cam Newton silence all the critics, because for an entire year he's done nothing but smile and be, you know, bear and grin it for an entire year when all the talk of the NCAA violations and then all the hate came down right before the draft when Pro Football Weekly did an article that said that the guy was disingenuous, he was fake, he had a fake smile, he was selfish, everything was me first, et cetera. You know, Terry Bradshaw came out and said that, you know, he preferred every other quarterback taken in the first round but Cam Newton. Mel Kiper said the same thing. And now, when, you know, fast forward a year later, this guy has set so many NFL records and has done nothing but been the model teammate, the model role model, and he's now going to become Broadway. He's going to be the Broadway guy. He's Mr. Madison Avenue. He's going to have endorsements up the wazoo after this season's over. So I was just happy to see the kid do well, because I thought that a lot of the hate that was coming his way last year wasn't legitimate, you know, because he had not been found guilty of any wrongdoing. Let's be honest. His dad probably 100% was shopping the kid. But when I listened to him in several interviews last year, he kept saying, well, I thought I was going to Mississippi State. Then at the last minute, it became Auburn. That kid wasn't making decisions for himself. His dad was making decisions and pulling and calling the shots. So it is highly plausible that his dad was shopping him for some money, and it's highly plausible that because he's a kid, he wasn't involved in that negotiation, because I don't know how most people are, but I know black kids dealing with their fathers, you may see your dad do something crazy, but you're not going to roll up on the side of him and ask him about it. So he probably knew his dad was shopping him for some money, but his dad wasn't going to share the $180,000 with him. So I just thought that it was just terrible that everybody, everywhere he went, said that he had character issues when no one had proven that the kid had character issues. He was just a kid that was a kid, 19, 20 years old, and his dad was pulling him around like a puppet on a string trying to make money off of him. You can't blame the kid for that. You got to blame the parent for that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's like a lot of things went wrong. It's like people make assumptions based on just an allegation. I mean, whenever you – that's why it's innocent until proven guilty, and you always say alleged, because as soon as you say alleged, it seems like some people jump on the guilty bandwagon. So.
Right.
That's basically what happened with Cam Newton and the sports media. And basically, since he was also projected to be the possible number one pick, they basically wanted to be a little more scrutiny on mm-hmm. the projected number one pick. I mean, that's the same thing that's going to happen to Andrew Luck, too. Now they're going to find every small flaw. Hey, he threw a pick six this time, that time, this time. And right. It's like, they're going to dissect, and they're just going to try to bring him down. That is kind of just the nature of the media. It's like we overanalyze, and then we take any small allegation and then basically turn it 180 if you have any kind of audience that would listen to it. So that's basically what happened. And props to the Panthers offense, too, because they got the guy from Miami who had coached Shockey, I think. He got two Miami tight ends, Olsen and Shockey, both over there. And then he turned what was possibly a run-blocking offensive line to a pass-blocking offensive line and gave more control to Cam Newton. And props to that guy, too, for maximizing what Cam Newton had. So because nobody thought they would get the kind of production that Cam Newton gave. And you got to give props to Ron Rivera for first not being afraid of any of these allegations or risks, alleged risks that the media was touting, and then he went with it, and he got the right offensive coordinator in place, and it worked out great, actually.
It worked out, yeah. And see, I would have been okay with the media tearing the kid apart based on his mechanics, his ability, his footwork, his ability to play the game, et cetera. But when you start tearing a kid's character apart, when you haven't, when you don't have any proof that the kid has bad character, all Gene Chizik and everybody at Auburn University said last year was the kid was high quality. He had great. He was well respected in the locker room. He did nothing but win. He's done nothing but win. Yeah, sure. He's a kid. He's gotten into some trouble, but that's what kids do. When he was at Florida, he was caught buying stolen computers. Well, in my article, I said, well, yeah, it was computers now, but 25 years ago when I was in college, it was long-distance calling cards. And how many people participated in that foolishness? You know, at 18, 19 years old, kids do that. Yeah, he got into some academic trouble. Well, kids do that. You know, he hasn't shown me that he's a criminal or that he has bad intent of being a good human being. The kid's done nothing. And I gave him all kind of props because the kid did nothing all year long but smile and didn't address the media. That says a lot about that kid's character.
It's almost like stereotyping. It's like you got to be a coach that yells on the sideline and do this and that in order to be successful. Then came along Dungy and showed, even Lovie Smith came along and showed you can be successful a different way. So it's like then you have a stereotype, a quarterback has to be not as flamboyant, I mean, and just be reserved and just be tight-lipped and not talk too much. Well, so what? I mean, every once in a while you can have a quarterback like Joe Namath, and Cam Newton has personality, and he's not afraid to show it. So don't just kind of stretch that to something else. So they'll just accept what they bring to the table, and then if you have the facts, then go after the kid. Otherwise, just...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just let it better.
Yeah. So what's up, Tom? What else is there to talk about? Hello?
Is Tom still there?
Hey, I'm here. Is my mic on? Can you even hear me? No.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you, man.
I totally agree, guys. I really do. You know, here's the thing. You guys bring up a very good points about Cam Newton. I mean, he's a great quarterback, and he's out there showing some stuff, and who's the media been fascinated with? Tim Tebow. Obviously, ESPN is every time you turn around, ESPN is showing something with Tim Tebow. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Tim Tebow, and actually, if you guys listen to this show, I said early on that Tim Tebow was the quarterback for Denver, and, you know, that he's going places. So Tim Tebow is a great quarterback, but I think too much attention has been put on Tim Tebow. And it's good to see on this very next issue of ESPN's magazine, I think Cam Newton's going to be on the cover. And certainly Cam has exceeded every reasonable expectation of him this season. He's also exposed a lot of unreasonable critics, those who thought he would fail and I guess are trying to defend themselves now. But his 15-game career is enough to hold back a lot. Lots of feats to the fire And we can certainly talk about the racial barrier as far as black quarterbacks and stuff, you know, and all the obstacles that they have to go through just to become a good quarterback, to become a noticeable quarterback in the NFL. Let's face it, that's not the black man's territory, and that's not a racial remark. It's just that that's a barrier that really hasn't been overcome. And so, you know, hats off to Cam Newton, and you know, great article that you wrote there, Jay, and it's good to point out that, hey, there is other quarterbacks out there.
That's right. And you know, what I said,
and Andrew Luck.
What I said to ESPN, the magazine, you know, they've got, like you said, the next big thing. Well, I said, well, you know, you're about a year late with that headline, because the Hood Journal and Constitution already wrote it last year. everybody in the hood knew that Cam Newton was the real deal just watching him at Auburn. I mean, this kid had what Tim Tebow has, is what I call the it factor. These guys have something special. You know, I get so tired of people telling me that Tim Tebow can't play quarterback in the NFL when I turn my television on Sunday and I'm watching the Denver Broncos, who is an NFL team, and Tim Tebow is playing quarterback. How can you tell me that he can't play quarterback if I'm watching him play quarterback?
Exactly. Well, guys,
you know?
Yeah, well, we got to move on along here. We want to get some of these other stories in, because I want to spend a lot of time talking about the bowl games, and we're going to do that in our next segment here. But one of the other top stories, I'm just going to kind of go through here, and then we'll kind of land on that Penn State and Ohio State topic, and we'll have some in-depth conversations about that before we go to our break and come back with our next segment, which will be talking bowl games. At number eight on my list was the – and, guys, I know I'm probably biased on a couple of these stories, but, hey, it's my show. I can be. No, really, Jay, you don't know this, but I'm the world's biggest Cardinal fan, so I had to put in there that the St. Louis Cardinals won the World Series. I mean, after being down to their last strike at the bottom of the ninth in an elimination game six, man, those Cardinals came back. That's got you know what? Even if I wasn't a Cardinals fan, that's got to be one of the best World Series ever. So that's certainly in my top ten of news stories. Also, Albert Pujols going to the Angels. We had Chris Reed from the St. Louis Dispatch. And you talk about some fans that were upset going back to the LeBron. They actually made a lot of comparison to LeBron James and Albert Pujols. But, you know, again, it's all about the Benjamins. Another story that I thought was really interesting, and maybe we could talk about this for a moment. Everybody knows who Joe Frazier is. Of course, he passed away. The legendary heavyweight boxer died after a short battle with liver cancer. Smoking Joe Frazier. And I don't know if you guys are much of a boxing fan, but growing up, you know, I'm gonna show my age here a little bit. But growing up, Smoking Joe was the bomb. Can I use that?
Yes, right.
Can I say that these days, man?
He was the man. You know, Frazier Ali all day long.
Absolutely. So that was one of my. Of course, the firing of Joe Paterno, and we'll kind of integrate that in with the Penn State story. And you know, if you're a hockey fan, Sidney Crosby coming back, and then exits, and then back, and you know, so that was kind of a good story. Albert Pujols already talked about that. You know, and then David. This was in my top three, guys. David Stern vetoes the Chris Paul trade. Amen. Thank you, David, for grabbing a pair of balls and doing what you should have do as a commissioner of the NBA. Jay, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh man, I was all over that. Everybody was mad at David Stern for that situation. You know what? Most people get mad because they don't understand what's going on. And what they didn't understand was the New Orleans Hornets don't have an owner, and the NBA is trying to sell the doggone team. Well, if I take the best player off the team that's selling all the tickets in Chris Paul and trade him away for nothing, because pretty much they were getting nothing for him, it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, and the commissioner had to say, wait a minute, we can't give the best player on the team to L.A., who's already a huge team in the league that's won 40%, 40 to 50% of the NBA titles anyway, that's never going to have a problem selling tickets or getting on TV. We've got to do something because I need to sell this doggone team. So he had to block that trade. And anybody that didn't understand that just didn't understand business.
No,
he had
absolutely.
No choice but to block that trade.
I was all for it, and I was
That's
actually
right.
thought I actually thought maybe he would buckle under pressure, but he didn't. So my hat's off to him. All right, guys, our top two stories. What we're going to do is we're going to dive into those top two stories and take a break and go into the bowl games. So let's start with the top two stories that I think we all agree on, and that's Ohio State scandal and Penn State. And I think all of us can agree that Penn State's number one. So let's go ahead and talk about the Ohio State scandal. Jay, you're up.
Ohio State scandal. You know what? I blame Ohio State University and all the old alumni and boosters that were involved. I don't blame the kids at all. And here's the reason I say that. When you bring a kid into your program, and most of these kids that we're talking about are from inner city, socioeconomically deprived, mamas and daddies or big mamas who sent them to college, doesn't have any money. So when they show up on campus, you have to remember that the scholarship only pays room, board, tuition, and books. It doesn't pay for a kid that comes into school at 210 pounds, gets into the Ohio State training table and now in weight room and gains 35 pounds in a year and a half. Who's going to buy him clothes? You know, when the kid is out on Saturday evening after the game, after they've made the university $3-4 million, and the university gives them a box lunch on their way out of the locker room at midnight, when the kid's still up because he's a college student, wants to buy a pizza, who's going to buy him a pizza? Can't call home because Big Mama doesn't have any money. So if some guy walks up to you and tells you, hey,
but,
if you
but
sign
Big Mama does have a house, Jay.
Big
Mama
has
a
what?
Has a house.
Well, not necessarily. I grew up in the hood. You know, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just making a Big Mama's house joke in the movie.
Oh,
go ahead.
But, yeah, you know, but what you have to realize is these kids are showing up on campus with nothing, and then all of a sudden, I mean, yeah, you're saying that the kid's supposed he's getting a free education. What free education doesn't feed him on Saturday night? Free education doesn't buy him shoes and clothes when he needs shoes and clothes. So if some guy walks up to you and says, hey, I'll give you $1,000 to sign 10 balls, or I'll give you, you know, free car to drive, et cetera. You got to remember, this kid's 18 to 22 years old. Kids 18 to 22 years old don't make good decisions anyway, even if they have a mother and a father and they're living in the same house with their mother and the father. They still don't make good decisions. So to blame the student-athlete for some guy that's 45 years old with a job and knows better and walks up to him and gives him $300 is ludicrous.
I agree.
So,
Chad?
So go ahead.
Yeah, I do think that there are two sides to the story. I mean, of course, the student-athlete and their parents know the terms of the agreement under which they got the scholarship. So if a lot of students who can, basically, even if they don't have the money, a lot of students do obey the rules, so that doesn't make an exception for the ones who do not obey the rules. But having said that, the NCAA needed to look at re-examine its policy of giving a living expense stipend, which I think they have done recently for Butler, I think up to $2,000 or something like that per month.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Something along those lines needed to be done in order for them to see a tangible commitment from the university and from the NCAA saying that they care about these realistic situations that these students go through and are putting forth an effort to help these out, when you give them a stipend, I mean, for example, I had a tuition waiver when I went to Albuquerque in New Mexico. And on top of the tuition waiver, they gave me a living expense stipend, which was about $900 a month. I drove a bike. I got it from the flea market, and I drove it around. And basically, that and I had roommates to help me out with the rent and things like that. So that $900 went long enough to get me through from month to month. And so similarly along those lines, if the NCAA did something to the student athletes, it would definitely at least tell you, okay, despite getting this monthly stipend, are you still violating the rule? Now you got no excuse. So, but the first policy of giving them a living expense stipend needs to be put forth for every student athlete, and I'm a strong supporter of that particular policy. And after that, you can read the real ones who want to break the rules because they intentionally want to, as opposed to their condition necessitates it. So.
All right, guys, we're talking about the top sports stories of 2011. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, give us a call, 917-889-8516. And we do want to move right along. Jay, did you have any final thoughts on the story?
Yeah, I was just going to say that the NCAA approved a $2,000 stipend for the year, not for the month. That's still not going to change the program that we're running into. And when you have kids, you know, let's be honest, you're never going to curb this situation as long as you've got boosters out there that have pockets full of money that are giving these kids money. I don't care. So what you're going to have to start doing is prosecuting boosters for getting involved with student athletes. That's the only way you're going to curb it. Because if some guy walks up to me right now and gives me $4,000 just because I wore the suit good today, I'm going to put it in my pocket and keep driving.
Well, and you know what? I probably would too. Well, you know, it all started. Yeah, I mean, you know, it all started with a few kids who wanted tattoos, and the owner of the tattoo parlor wasn't necessarily a big Buckeyes fan, but he liked having them around. And it ended with NCAA infractions and a year of investigations, and obviously Ohio State, which was certainly a icon in college football, is now going to have to sit out a bowl game. They got one of the greatest coaches of all time as a coach, Urban Meyer. He's coming into this, and you know, there's nothing he could do about it, and he has to sit out a bowl game. And obviously, there has to be something that has to be done about this when you look at compensating college players. But the thing is, guys, if you compensate the football players, you've also got to compensate the swimmers, and you've got to compensate the cricket players and the field hockey. And,
right. Right.
And you know, so I think that they did a great I think they did a good job of doing the best of what they could do with what they had. And so, you know, it certainly is one of those stories that will continue the conversation, I'm sure, going on into 2012. All right, the top story, guys, we all agree, is obviously the Penn State scandal. And you know, we've had Ed Kratz on several times from the Philadelphia Inquirer, who's a good friend of the show, but he was unable to make it today. I don't really – it's sad that that's our number one sports story of the year. I mean, it really is sad. And you know – I look at and you hear the probable cause, and I don't want to, because this is a family friendly show, I don't want to be too graphic, but you have to be kind of graphic with this show, and I mean with the story, and well, you don't have to be graphic with this show, no. I'm just saying, no. I don't even know how to begin to describe this, but basically, we all know what he saw in the shower.
Right.
And as
right.
he began to go through describing that in court, and you know, and then you listen to the story of to the interview with Bob Costas, all of that is very, very disturbing. And then certainly one of the greatest coaches of all time was fired and let go. And we do have with us as well now Mr. $2 Bill, Josh Elmore, who used to be the co-host of the show and just kind of had a lot of things go on. So he joins us from time to time. But he helped us with the top stories last year of 2010. Josh, how are you doing, sir?
I'm well. How are you today, Tim?
Good, good. Talk about the top stories of 2011. Hey, guys, I want to play this soundbite that I played right after the firing of Joe Paterno. It's the soundbite of Joe on the outside of his house there. You guys have probably seen that in the news clip many, many times. I want to play that. We'll come back and we'll jump into the discussion. Josh, I want to get your top five stories of 2011. Then we're going to take a break. And we get back, we're going to jump into our bowl game discussion right here on the back.
Remember, we're always going to be Penn State, regardless of what happens to certain people. We're Penn State. I'm proud of you, folks. I'm proud of you. I've always been proud of you.
We're proud of you.
Hey, let's all just see that football team on Saturday, all right, and beat Nebraska.
Yeah!
And, you know, there's been some criticism of the way we've handled some of the poor victims. My wife and I, we have 17 grandkids, from 16 to 3, and we pray for them every night. We're going to start praying for those kids that got involved with some of the problems that we talked about. Right? They don't deserve it. They haven't, and we owe it to them to say a prayer for them and to make sure they know and understand that their life is still one that can be enriched. One that they can make a significant impact on other people and do a lot of different things, as all of you can. So God bless everybody.
Love you, Joe.
Bye.
All right. As you can see, Joe Paterno still has a lot of support. And you know, it's sad that he got caught up in the middle of this. And, you know, I guess, you know, again, this is a story that we could talk about for a long time, but we kind of want to just keep it to a shortness because we want to get to our break and get back in our next segment to talk about College Bowl, BCS Bowls 2011. Now, Josh, we'll start with you because you just joined the show. First of all, what are your top five stories of 2011? Josh. Well, apparently we lost Josh. So we'll go ahead and go with Jay. Jay, let's talk about this story, this interview. What are your thoughts? What did you think about? What are some of the things that you think about this story? Then we'll go to you, Chad, and then we'll take a break.
You know what? I thought that it was completely disgusting for Joe Pa to be standing out in front of his house like he just won a national championship, cheering them on, even though you've got immature college students that don't necessarily understand the severity of the crimes that were committed. But Joe should have come out and said, hey, this isn't the time or the place to be cheering and giving me all kind of love when you've got children that have been sexually abused at our university. He could have easily come out and said something, but I blame the entire administration, and most importantly, I blame Joe Pa for allowing the situation to stay underground for as long as it did. Joe Pa is the Pied Piper in Happy Valley, let's be honest. He runs the university. He makes the decisions as to what happens and what doesn't happen, especially in the football program. When this guy coached with him, he's been knowing the guy for more than 30-some-odd years coaching with him, and then all of a sudden you hear in 98 that, hey, your boy has some problems. when you go and you at least go and investigate and see what rumors, if the rumors are true or not. Then in 2002, you find out this situation, and the guy is still permitted to come to the university and shower and hang out in the facility. If you know that this guy has got this type of reputation, you shouldn't have him anywhere near the university or anywhere near your complex or your players. The fact that he never said a word to the police, let's forget he went to the AD and the VP of finance, that was supposed to go to the police, and that was supposed to be out because you don't want it to fall back in your lap. It's called CYA. And he didn't do that. Joe Pa was only concerned with winning football games and breaking that doggone record. So he allowed a situation to fester right underneath his feet. So I thought that he should have been fired on the spot. And in my opinion, everybody that knew about the situation should have at least been arrested and questioned about it. What are your thoughts?
Yes. My take on it is, I mean, it's kind of like I had a conversation at work with my supervisor regarding this. He wasn't in favor of Penn State letting go of Joe Pa because he didn't think that was the right thing to do. And he felt it was a knee-jerk reaction. And he asked me the question, if you come to me and say something, and of course my supervisor reports to the vice president and president, okay, of the company. If you report something to me and I report it to the vice president and then you go about your job and nothing gets done, haven't you done your job of reporting to me? But I said, if I report something as egregious as this situation and you report it to the vice president or president and nothing gets done, I would consider the situation serious enough to go bring it up with the vice president and president to ask why nothing was done. Because the gravity of the situation needs to be separated from a normal corporate culture procedure versus something that is a little more drastic. So it is not like a typical corporate culture. Oh, you tell your supervisor tells your president, and that's it. You've done your job. It doesn't work that way, like corporate culture.
Hey, Chad, I agree with you, and I don't want to interrupt you, but we're running short on time here. I want to make sure we get to Josh real quick because we got to take a break and we got to get into our next segment. But it's certainly great conversation, guys, and it's certainly the number one story of 2011. Josh, what are your top stories of 2011, top five?
My top five would be Joe Paterno gets fired for no reason, regardless of the scandal at Penn State. The Syracuse scandal, Dan Weldon killed in Las Vegas. Danica Patrick leaving IndyCar, and the St. Louis Cardinals winning the World Series.
Okay, well, there you go. And I wish we had time to get into the debate because Josh's thoughts is that Joe Paterno was fired for no reason. I think that we believe that he was fired for a very good reason. But we don't have time to debate that, guys. I wish that we did. But we're going to jump into a break, and when we get back, we're going to talk some bowl games. And I don't mean the toilet bowl, although maybe some of these bowl games are getting out of hand. Maybe we should call them the toilet bowl. We'll be right back right here on The Balance on New Year's Eve.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Yo.
Hello, Shorty. What are you doing?
Nothing. Sitting here watching the game, smoking some bud.
Are you all alone?
What's up?
What's up? What's that? Who's that?
Yo, pick up the phone. What's up?
What's up?
Yo, Duke, pick up the phone.
Yo.
What's up?
What you doing, son?
Nothing. Just chilling. Killing.
True, true.
All right. What's up? I love that, guys. I absolutely love that. What's up? That goes back from a long time ago. All right, guys, let's jump into it. It's bowl season. It's New Year's Eve. Between today, tomorrow, and Monday, I plan on doing nothing but eating, sleeping, and football. And if I could do more football of any of it, I'm down for it. So let's jump into some of the bowl game conversation. And obviously, some of the big SEC heavyweights will be in, and I want to save the conversation that I know everybody wants to talk about, and that's LSU. And, yes, I know that Urban Meyer's not going to be a Florida Gator anymore. We'll get into all of that. Certainly want to get into some of the other bowl games as well. So with that said, we'll start with you, Chad, because I think it's your turn to start. What do you think is going to be the most interesting bowl to watch this year? Don't say LSU, besides LSU. Are you there, Chad? All right, Jay. Maybe we lost Chad again. All right, Jay, go ahead.
Hey, I tell you, when you start talking about interesting, you have to talk about the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl, Illinois versus UCLA, simply because both head coaches have been fired, and now the assistant coaches at Illinois are threatening to boycott the game because their contracts were there was some funny business going on with the contracts. They thought that they had a two-year contract and find out that they've only got a one-year contract. So the assistant coaches, I've never seen this in my life, are threatening to boycott. I wrote an article on it this morning, but I was like, that makes no sense. So in terms of interest, I'm interested to see that today. It's crazy.
Well, and I am too. All right, Josh, what do you think is going to be the best bowl game of the weekend?
I think the best bowl game of the weekend is going to be the Liberty Bowl. I'm looking forward to seeing the Liberty Bowl. Unfortunately, I can't remember both teams playing in the Liberty Bowl at the moment. But speaking of the Toilet Bowl, Tom, isn't that scheduled for 1 o'clock tomorrow in Jacksonville?
you missed that conversation at the beginning of the show. And, yes, it is scheduled for tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and we'll see how that turd gets all polished up out there. That's for sure. All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead. Dave, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, from a very interesting bowl to watch is the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl with Stanford, Oklahoma State. You know, Oklahoma State, you know, thought that they should have been in the national championship game, but I got two words for them. Iowa State. You know, you got to win that ball game. But I think that Andrew Luck is going to pick the Oklahoma State Cowboys apart because the Oklahoma State Cowboys defensive secondary has been suspect all year. I think they were ranked 107th in the country in terms of defenses. And on paper, this looks like a great game, 11-1 versus 11-1. But I don't think that Oklahoma State is going to do very well in this game defensively.
Well, and I totally agree with you. And we lost Chad. Hopefully we'll get him back on. If not, I'm not sure if he had to leave or I know he's got a little youngin' at home, so that's probably what happened. I know he had some daddy duties that he told me about in advance. So, all right, guys, let's just kind of go through the bowl games, and we'll start with – and here's the amazing – and what I'm going to do is just kind of throw some things out there to you guys and let you chomp on it a little bit. Hey, 917-889-8516, if you want to join the bowl game conversation here on The Balance. All right, guys, we don't really want to get into the games that have already happened. We want to talk about the games tonight. And the money is unreal. So I'm going to go through some of these games and tell you what the payout is on it and give me the thoughts on that particular bowl game. Let's start, and the names of these are starting to crack me up. It's like NASCAR college football. Let's see if
right.
we can get our sponsorship here, signage here. Bell Helicopters Armed Forces Bowl. That's today at 12 p.m. In about an hour and a half Eastern time. San Antonio, Texas. No. Fort Worth, Texas. Payout 1.2 mil. Tulsa versus BYU. Go. And so go ahead, Jay. What are your thoughts? Sorry.
I thought they played that ball game yesterday. Yeah, that ball game was played yesterday. 24-21, BYU won that ball game.
Why don't I learn what the date is? Because it is New Year's Eve. That would mean it's the 31st. Let's start with the 31st, guys. All right. I thought I'd go the whole game without getting the whole show without getting sad sacked. And to bring you in another thing that goes on in this show, Jay, sad sack means basically get a pair of balls. You know, and we can sad sack you at any time. So a lot of times we'll get callers and we just have to disconnect the call and sad sack them. But sometimes we sad sack ourselves. So I will take that sad sack myself. All right. The date being December 31st, New Year's Eve. We're still going to stay in Texas, but let's go to the Meineke Care Bowl of Texas playing today at noon.
Yeah.
Northwestern versus Texas A&M, payout $3.4 million. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, I tell you what, both of these teams are 6-6, but I think that Texas A&M has far greater athleticism, and it probably won't even be close simply because these guys have some athleticism. But I will say this, when you talk about $3 million payout, you know, people are howling and screaming on a regular basis about getting rid of the BCS and getting rid of the bowl system and having a playoff. Teams like this, Texas A&M and Northwestern, will never play for a national championship. So their national championship is this $3.3 million payout, and those presidents of that universities are never going to vote for a playoff simply because they can get a guaranteed $3.3 million for showing up in Texas today.
All right, Josh, what are your thoughts?
I would have to disagree with that. Texas A&M may very well play for a national championship in a few years based on the fact that starting next fall they'll be in the Southeastern Conference, so their recruits are instantly going to become better. But seriously, the Meineke Care Bowl of Texas, do we really need that many bowls?
Here's the thing, guys. I think this is a perfect example. We could still have a playoff system. You know, like in basketball, it's the same teams, even though the brackets might be smaller. We could do the same thing they do in basketball. They play all over the country in different stadiums. They could call the Meineke Care Bowl of Texas Bracket West Bracket Playoffs to the national championship. Guys, I like to see the Big Ten represented. Northwestern did a lot of stuff this year that I like. I'm going to go out on the limb for the underdog. I think Northwestern wins this game. All right, guys. Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl. And I think we already talked about that, UCLA versus Illinois. So we'll go ahead and go to you, Josh, on that one. What are your thoughts? And by the way, the payout on that is 1.675 mil. Go ahead, Josh.
That should be a really bad football game between two really bad football teams. My only question is, this is called the Kraft Fight Hunger, and it's a really bad football game. Do we get free macaroni and cheese for watching?
That's right. Sit on the couch and watch Kraft macaroni and cheese. Oh, my goodness. And joining us now, Mr. Dave F. Snyder. How you doing, sir?
Under the weather today. I have bronchitis. I'm trying to stay alive here.
Well, we're talking about the bowl games. We're kind of going through these, and we just talked about the Meineke Care Bowl of Texas and the payout being $3.4 million, and Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl, and Josh thinks that we should get free macaroni and cheese for watching this bowl game. Here's my thought, guys. If they can pay out $1.675 million for this, for hunger, why not pay out a little bit less and maybe give that $0.675 to hunger? I don't know. Just a thought, throwing it out there. Gary?
Yeah, it's kind of funny that it's the Kraft Feed Hunger Bowl, and it's sponsored by Mac Kraft, which obviously makes the macaroni a food company. Anybody else see the irony there?
Right, right.
I know, guys. And we're going to move on, though. Today, we're still in Texas, 2 o'clock p.m. game, pay out $4 million. And that's a four with a capital M, $1 million. Hyundai Sun Bowl, Georgia Tech versus Utah. Jay, your turn, go.
Georgia Tech, Utah. I'd have to go with Georgia Tech in that ball game. I think that Utah is still reeling from actually leaving the Mountain West and going to the Pac-12 and getting their head beat in five games this year. They hadn't been accustomed to losing like that. So I think that Georgia Tech's should win that ball game.
Josh?
I agree. Georgia Tech should win that ball game.
And Gary, go ahead.
My question is, why don't they use some of that payout money and actually use it to put towards making a good car? But other than that, I'll go with Utah.
You know what? I like Utah in this game as well. Utah, the Utes have played some really good football this year. And really, guys, out of the two games there, I'm not a big UCLA fan. I'm not a big Georgia Tech fan, even in basketball. And I don't know why I said I'm gonna double sack myself today. Jeez, I'm not a Georgia Tech fan at all. But I tell you what, who's joining us now? Who's the expert on Stanford? At least one quarterback. My normal co-host and guy who actually works for a living. The rest of us get to sit around and eat macaroni and cheese and talk about sports. My co-host, Mr. Brian Jensen. I'm glad you could join us today, sir.
Thanks. How you doing, Tom?
Good. Hey, we're talking about the bowl games coming up here, guys, so we're just kind of round-robining it here. And we just got done talking about Georgia Tech, Utah, and the Hyundai Sun Bowl payout $4 million. What are your thoughts on that game?
My thoughts? I never even watched the game. I've been working my butt off lately. Haven't had a chance to watch anything, but this weekend, you best believe I will be. I mean, I get to relax tonight. I'm going to try and watch something. If something's on tomorrow, something's on, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. If it's the Hyundai Bowl, does it stop working after the third quarter?
Yeah, somewhere between the second and third, yeah. Pretty much where they start to, crap out.
All right, guys, and here's another big high-profile game, and I like this game a lot. It's probably one that I will actually watch. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Cincy versus Vandy. Hey, Jay, go ahead.
I tell you what, Cincinnati. I'll pick Cincinnati 9-3 to win this ball game against a 6-6 Vanderbilt. I know that Vanderbilt is in the SEC, but Vanderbilt is the catfish in the SEC, the bottom feeder. So they shouldn't win this ball game. I would say that Cincinnati's got better players, and they should win. We don't know, but they should win.
All right, Josh, what are your thoughts? Josh, are you with us?
Yes, so I had a bit of technical difficulty. The Liberty Bowl should be pretty good. Actually, I have
You've
to jump off.
You've been sad sacked, Josh. You've just been sad sacked. Go ahead.
But actually, I have a question. When it comes to the future, do you think Ursay will be in the stands, or do you think he'll be on the sideline standing next to Andrew Luck so he won't get hurt?
Gary, we'll let you take that one.
It's Vanderbilt, Cincinnati. Let me ask you this. Does AutoZone supply the entire Cincinnati football team with spinners for their car? Saying that, I'll go with Cincinnati.
Well, at least they're not playing Xavier. Yeah, at least they're not playing Xavier. All right, Brian, do you have any thoughts on this game?
Andrew Luck. Who is trying to make a phone call in the middle of my conversation? I'm going to kill him.
Who's calling? Is that you?
That's not me.
Whoever it is, just been sad sacked, because I know it isn't my boy. Go ahead, Brian.
Andrew Luck. That's all about that for this game.
Hey, you know what? I got to interject just because I just happened to see your Twitter page here, Jay. Man, you are the best dressed sports guy out there, man. We're all wearing hoodies and stuff, man. You got the little bow tie thing going on, brother. I love it.
That's the look, man. That's the look.
I don't know whether to talk sports with you or talk about a wedding or something with you.
I'm like Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders always said, if you look good, you play good. So
you,
I'm trying to look good so I can play good.
That must be my problem, because I go to the studio every day with sweats on.
Hey, guys, you may not have seen it, but if you haven't seen it, it's on my Facebook. I Twittered it. I asked for a headshot from Brian for the website. And you guys need to go look at that, because I'm going to get it up there, but it's on my Facebook. It's on my Twitter. It is very scary on what I got when I asked for a headshot. I don't do it justice by talking about it, but you got to go look at it. I'll try to find it and post it again on Facebook and on Gary's page here in a few moments, because it is one for the books. All right, guys, Chick-fil-A Bowl. Pay out $6.9 million down in Atlanta, Virginia versus Auburn. I like this game a lot. So we'll start with you, Jay, on this. Go ahead. What are your thoughts on this game?
I tell you what, Virginia coming in out of the ACC at 8-4, playing the defending national champ that has lost 5 ball games this year, 4-4 in the SEC. I think that even though Virginia is a good team out of the ACC, I think that Auburn still should win this ball game because they're a little deeper and they're battle-tested. They've played better teams all year, and I think that they should be able to handle Virginia in Atlanta today.
Gary? Who is there anybody left on the show? Let's go with Brian.
You know, the only thing I'm sitting here wondering, is what that guy said. I'm trying to think of the NBA analysis that that guy sounds like. I think it's Avery Johnson. He has that, like, swang to him, you know?
Who's that, me?
I think it's Avery Johnson is who I'm thinking of. That's the only way you're talking. That's the only thing I'm picturing.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
Jay, you're our official come on, man, guy of the show now, okay? So
that's right. Holler at your boy.
Give us one. Come on, man. We want to hear it.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Oh. Love it. All right, guys. Maybe we'll get our other group back here. I don't know what happened to Josh and Gary Snyder, but we'll get him back. I know Gary lives way out. You go to BFE, turn left, and go to BFE the sequel, and you'll get to his house. So he probably doesn't even have cell phone coverage. He's got to climb up on the roof to make a call. So. All right, guys. Ticket City Bowl, that's on the 2nd, January 2nd, $2.2 million payout, Penn State versus Houston. Now, there was talk for a while that Penn State would not attend this game, but I think that was just talk. So we're going to go on the assumption that they're actually going to show up. Penn State versus Houston, $2.2 mil. Jay, what are your thoughts?
I'll tell you what, Penn State 9-3, 6-2 in the Big Ten, playing 12-1 Houston, who thought they would be in a BCS bowl right now. They may come into this ball game a little down, and I think that Penn State has a lot to play for. The kids have gone through a lot over the last month and a half, 2 months, and I think that they're going to go out there to prove to everybody that they can still play football. They've got a good team, and I mean, they were well on their way of winning the Big Ten. So I think that I'm going to go with Penn State on this one.
All right, Brian.
Yeah, I will give you a good comment on this. Okay, I promise. You know how much I watch college football. I don't ever watch it, but I am going to go for Penn State because you know the kids there deserve it. That school deserves it. You know, they've had a rough year, and it's, you know, because, you know, everything that's been going on, that school just deserves that bowl win.
You know, I like that, and that's a good thing. I, however, don't think they're going to win this game. I think there's too much distraction. I don't know how much of that's came into play, but I think that obviously right after all this happened, you saw them play Nebraska, and I've just seen that team fall apart. I'd like to see it. It would be a great win, and believe me, it would be a great win for the school and for the student body. But I just don't see it. I just don't see that they have what it takes. And, you know, I know this sounds bad because I certainly know that he shouldn't be a part of the organization. But if you take the bad and the evil monster out of Sandusky, the guy was a heck of a defensive coordinator, and he really helped develop that program a lot, and it's sad that it all came downhill. So I don't think Penn State's going to win this game, but it's good to see them in a bowl game, and it's certainly good to see their representation. I think we have Gary back. Gary, do you have to climb up on the roof and lift a leg or something to get back on with us, or what?
No, I am knee deep in this. Thing that happened over in Kokomo yesterday with these cops beating up a bunch of these protesters for no reason, and that was one of their attorneys, and we ought to have a pretty good show on Tuesday with this, and that was one of the attorneys for one of the guys trying to schedule an interview, so I apologize.
Hey, you know what, and we'll take a quick second here to talk about that. I am familiar with the story, but obviously we're streaming across the United States. A lot of people may not be familiar with this story. So go ahead and we'll get off topic for a quick second. Tell us about the story and how you're covering it.
Well, there are these Occupy Wall Street protesters protesting out in front of the Howard County Courthouse on Friday. And whether you agree with the protesters or not, they still have the right. And the Howard County Sheriff's Department had basically mobilized half of their department and put them inside the Howard County Courthouse. These guys walked in to tell the police they were leaving. And as they did, one of the actual sheriff who was there pointed out that he was talking to one guy. They got set to leave. The sheriff points to one guy who had a dollar bill taped to his mouth and said, "Hey, you can't have a mask on in here." The guy goes, "I don't have a mask on." And before you know it, the sheriff reaches out and tries to rip the dollar bill off of his face. The guy backs up, and before you know it, a whole gang of cops are basically beating these two guys up. And there's video of it. We'll have the video on my site. And these two were taken to jail. And I just talked with the guy that videotaped the whole thing. He said the police confiscated his iPad that it was recorded on. It left the video on there that was showed the cop trying to rip the dollar bill off the guy's mouth. But the beating that these two took afterwards was deleted from his iPad once the cops gave it back. So this is starting to show up on some national news, and we'll have the two guys arrested and the guy that videotaped this Tuesday on the show for an entire hour.
Well, great, and we're looking forward to doing that, and I'll certainly be a part of that show too as well. All right, guys, we're going to take our final timeout of the day. When we get back, we're going to wrap up these bowl games and also get from Gary, and I'm scared to ask him what he thinks his top sports stories of 2011 are. When we get back, we're going to find out the answers to all of that and recap the rest of the bowl games that are happening here on New Year's Eve. Guys, it's the last Saturday of 2011.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Yes, sir, sorry. Okay. This is Frank Bobo, head coach of the Indiana Pacers, and you're listening to The Balance.
And you're listening to The Balance as well. My name is Tom Marquezel, Presidente. So glad that you could join us on the final Saturday of 2011. And with me is my panel of expert, or my expert panels. I'm really not sure at this moment. But Mr. Jay Graves at the jgravesreport.com. Holler at your boy.
At your
love
boy.
That. Holler at your boy. And my co-host, every Saturday, the guy who's got a hairdo that looks like, well, we're going to put it up and let you say, Mr. Brian Jensen. Are you with me?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, hey. And also, my other partner in crime, the man who has bodies buried all over Huntington of the Democrat persuasion, Mr. Gary Snyder. How you doing, sir?
I kill more Republicans than I do Democrats. There aren't any Democrats here in Huntington.
I got you. All right, guys. We're talking about the top. We're talking about the top new sports stories of 2011. So, Gary, real quickly, let's extract that from you. What are your top five sports stories of 2011?
I think number five, or I'll start at the top. The top sports story for me had to be the Boston Bruins winning the Stanley Cup after a long hiatus. Number two, I think, had to be the injury of Peyton Manning and the play of the Colts this year. Number three, I would go with the NBA lockout. Number four, I would say Dan Weldon dying in that horrific crash. And number five, as much as it pains me, St. Louis Cardinals winning the World Series.
All right. Well, and you know what, Gary, you don't know this, but you named a lot of the same stories that we did. And Brian, we didn't get yours, so what are your top five stories, sports stories of 2011? Peyton Manning.
I'd probably say the whole Peyton Manning injury and, you know, Pujols going to the Angels. I can't have seen that coming, but not, you know, really knowing what team he'd go to. Probably the NBA lockout and the whole Sandusky thing. You know, that's probably the, you know, top story. And that's four, and I can't think of a fifth one. Indianapolis Colts suck right now. How about that?
Hey, you know what? There was that story where Green Bay lost and we won on the same day. There's some sort of stat there. I posted it when I got it. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was the first time in like NFL history where the team with the most losses and the most wins lost and won on the same day, on the opposite. So something like that. Anyway. All right, so moving on along. We digress, I know, but we do eventually get back on point. And we're talking about the 2011-2012 bowl games. And that's one great thing I love about New Year's is really I do nothing. We don't have any family traditions, or I don't even make black-eyed peas and corned beef and cabbage. Jay, you probably make the black-eyed peas thing, don't you, on New Year's Eve?
My mother used to make those, man, but I thought they were horrible. I never eat them. They look like they're looking at you.
You know, how racist was that? I mean, funny but racist.
Hey,
my bad. I'm sorry.
They look like they're looking at you, so I never eat them.
All right. Well, let's move on along here before we dig our hole too deep. Capital One Bowl, January 2nd, down in Orlando. 9.2 million payout, guys. Nebraska versus South Carolina, and myself. That's one I got penciled in as well as I want to watch. So, Jay, let's break this game down. Nebraska and South Carolina.
I tell you what, man. Both big time programs. South Carolina's 10-2, 6-2 in the SEC, with Nebraska coming in at 9-3 in the total record, and 5-3 in the Big Ten. I think that the defenses of the SEC is going to be a little bit too much for Nebraska. Nebraska can't throw the ball, so all they've got to do is put 7-8 in the box and make Taylor Martinez throw the ball, and he's going to turn it over. So I'm going with South Carolina.
All right, Gary, go ahead.
I'm going with the old ball coach here.
The what?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Seriously, you don't know who the old ball coach is and you're a football fan?
Right.
Well, I assume you're talking
with
about some rats. Yeah. Well, I thought you were going somewhere with it. So I guess I expected more than I'm just going with the old ball coach. So Andrew Luck. Brian.
You really want to do this to me, seriously?
Yeah, guys, we're going to sad sack Gary. Gary, I still got some sad sacks left, and I'm going to hand one over to you, buddy. I'm going to go with the old ball coach. You know, typically, and you're in radio, you interview people. When we throw a question out there, it usually, you know, you sit back and you start working on other things while they answer. And I'm going to go with the old ball coach.
Let's be honest. Nobody gives a rat's ass about this game, so I figure that's the best I can do.
Actually, I think this is going to be a great game. I think Nebraska's going to really show their stuff, and I like Nebraska a lot. And welcome to the Big Ten, Nebraska. And I think it makes the Big Ten a lot more competitive, and I like being a part of it. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a good game. So, Brian, go ahead.
You just bring me on the show just to, you know, for amusement.
All right. we'll pass on Brian. Apparently there's only two guys on this show that realize that there's life past Peyton Manning and the Colts. All right, guys, I wanted to get to some of those other bowl games, but let's get into the real meat. The real meat of the weekend in the BCS bowl games. Obviously, let's talk about the Rose Bowl, Wisconsin versus Oregon. Again, Big Ten represented. Jay, we've got just a few minutes, so we got to get through these BCS bowls pretty quickly. But Rose Bowl, Jay, what are your thoughts? $17 million payout, by the way.
$17 million. I'm going with Oregon. I'm going with the Ducks and the cool uniforms and all that speed.
All right, Brian, yes or no?
No.
Gary, Wisconsin versus Oregon in the Rose Bowl.
I've seen Oregon play. I've seen Wisconsin play. Wisconsin, this is kind of like a speed team versus a team with a lot of strength. Oregon is just going to be way too fast. I don't think anybody with Wisconsin can even keep up with Oregon. It's going to be a high-scoring game. Oregon takes it.
Yep.
You know, I like Wisconsin in this game. I like the Big Ten represented, and I'm going to go with Wisconsin. We're going to go through these real quick, much like we do our Sunday picks, but we're not going to be doing that this week. We're going to be doing the bowl picks because we've only got like 7 minutes left in the show, so we just want to get through these. Another $17 million payout out in Glendale, Arizona, the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Oklahoma State versus Stanford. Hey, we'll start with Brian.
Andrew Luck.
You got one right.
You got one right. All right. We'll go with Jay. What are your thoughts on Stanford versus Oklahoma State?
Yeah, I'm going with Stanford. I think that Stanford passing game is going to be a little bit too much for the defensive secondary of Oklahoma State, which has been gashed all year long in passing yardage.
Gary?
I'm going with Stanford.
You know what? Here's my thoughts, and you guys are going to look back at this show and say, man, Tom really knows his stuff. It's going to be a big news story. Andrew Luck is totally overrated. He loses in the bowl game. Oklahoma State wins. Everybody's scratching their head going, WTF, Andrew Luck, what the? Yeah, Oklahoma State wins. All-State Sugar Bowl on January 3rd down in the Big Easy. Payout $17 million. Virginia Tech versus Michigan. Jay.
Michigan Wolverines all the way. I think that the speed of Denard Robinson, the way they're playing that offense, I think that Virginia Tech, even though they're 11-2 this year, 7-1 in the ACC, I wasn't very impressed with them. So I think that Michigan is going to come in with a whole lot to prove because they hadn't been in the BCS Bowl in a while and win that game.
All right, Brian.
I'm going to go with Michigan.
Okay, Gary.
I don't know why I'm just going to go with Michigan.
All right,
I'm going with Brady Hoke and the Ball State Colts.
Love it. I like Michigan in this game. I like the Wolverines, and I think that, again, it's good to see the Big Ten represented. Anytime I get an opportunity to root for the Big Ten, I'm going to do that. So I'm going to go with Michigan on this one. Discover Orange Bowl, January 4th down in Miami, $17 million payout. Clemson versus West Virginia. Jay.
I'm going with Clemson. I think Clemson's got a little bit more athleticism than West Virginia. West Virginia playing the down Big East this year. I think that Clemson's gonna show a lot of speed and athleticism and win that game.
All right, Brian, real quick.
Clemson.
And Gary, real quick.
Clemson.
All right, the national championship, guys. We all know who it is. I wish we had more time to talk about it because there's a lot of storylines, a lot to talk about, but we don't. But it is going to be a great game, LSU versus Alabama. Gary, I know that this is your favorite matchup, so what are your thoughts?
I refuse to pick this friggin' game.
Nine six
Alabama or LSU over Alabama in overtime.
All right, Brian.
Alabama.
Jay.
Hey, the first time these guys played, I thought Alabama outplayed LSU, but because they're playing in the Superdome, 60 miles from Baton Rouge, I think LSU is going to bring the thunder and beat them by a touchdown.
All right, guys, we got through all of the
Really, Jay, you think a touchdown's actually going to be scored in this game?
Yeah, and you know, I really do. I really do. It's a national championship, and LSU's got a little bit more stability at quarterback right now because Jordan Jefferson is actually playing, and they're not flip-flopping these two quarterbacks back and forth like they were doing in the first game. So I think that they're going to settle down, and those defensive backs out there at LSU are going to go to work.
All right, guys, we're running out of time here. Real quickly, Jay. Welcome to the show, my friend, and we're looking forward to having you on my show and the Gary Snyder show with us in the future. But where does people find your work and masterpieces at?
Hey, man, you can catch me. This is Jay Graves from the jgravesreport.com. You can hit me also on Twitter at jgravesreport. Holla at your boy.
I love it. Holla at your boy. All right, Gary Snyder, where can people find your well-sought-out material?
The Howard County Journal.
What?
No, you can find it at GaryLSnyder.com. I'm on weekdays 3 to 6 on 1400 WBAT, and I'm going to start putting holla at your boy after everything.
I love it. It is fantastic. And Brian, I know you're on Facebook, super Colts fan. Real quickly, do the Colts win tomorrow or not?
No. No.
And I know Gary wants the Colts to stay at the hotel. I know that Jay will think the same thing. So
all I'm saying is start Painter.
Start McAfee. hey, start me. You know, let me.
Avery Johnson. Start Avery Johnson.
and guys, we have to root for the Rams to beat the 49ers. All right, guys. That's going to do it for us.
Because that's going to happen.
So glad that you could join us today on our New Year's Eve special. Everybody be safe out there. Remember, if you've had too much of Uncle Joe's special moonshine this weekend, stay home. Do it at home or get a designated driver like Gary Snyder. I think he's giving free rides to everybody. So give him a call, 260. I'm just kidding. But seriously, everybody be safe. Happy New Year from the balance.
Boom! Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It was wonderful.
Oh, bravo!
More!
More!
More!